your faithfulness in declaring to us your word, your revelation through both creation and your written word, and then through the living word. As Christ came to dwell on the earth, and we know that as he spoke to Philip, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not known me? We treat sometimes the preciousness of your word with contempt, Lord, and not counting it the privilege that it is. Forgive me for that. Forgive us for that. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to be in awe of what you have done and the patterns which you have set among us, Lord. Again, we know that you are sovereign over all the affairs of men, and you have a reason why you have created things the way you have created them. And I think of even the gift of family, Lord, how you have designed the family for a particular purpose, and that is to reveal you in its many different relationships. God, I pray that you would help us as we look to your word today to be filled again with your wonder and your awe. In Christ's name, amen. All right, we have been going through the Bible, the book of Genesis, and we have been the last few months currently looking at the book of Exodus. And about almost a month ago, Steve began us into a look at the 10 words of the covenant, which we understand as the 10 commandments. And the goal was that we're going to do one through three, and then we're going to do four by itself. And then originally it was going to be I was going to do each one of them separately, and then for the sake of closing the gap and saving some time, I was going to do 5 through 10, all one message. And then, anyways, on Thursday, as I started to prepare, I began to realize there was no way that we were going to get 5 minutes a commandment. And so, and as I continued to prepare, I realized I wasn't even going to get three and have it be 10 minutes a commandment or even 15 minutes a commandment. So, we're going to be looking at the fifth command today, and that is honor your father and your mother. And so, in Exodus chapter 20, we're going to look at verse 12 today. We're going to go through one verse, and I hope to be done in 3 hours from now. Anyways, just joking. But anyways, I'll read that verse for you. I mean, I don't want to take too long on this Bible reading since we've already had the Bible reading from Matthew 15, but if you can stand this one verse here. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which Yahweh your God is giving you. And as we have considered going through the commands, you've saw that the first three commands clearly are focused on God. In the fourth command, which we looked at last week, says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, for in 6 days God created the earth, and the seventh day he rested. The first four commands as a whole, historically and pretty much throughout the theological spectrums, everyone would agree that those first four commands focus on God. Okay? When Jesus was asked for the greatest command, he told them to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. That comes from the Shema, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, not from the Ten Commandments. But it's a summarization, if you would, of these first four commands. Some would, though, turn around and put the command that we're going to talk about today, honor your father and your mother, in those first four. And they would say that the first five commands all refer to loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus said the second greatest commandment was like unto the first, and that was to love your neighbor as yourself. And as we progress on to the sixth command and beyond, beginning next week, we know that the sixth commandment is thou shalt not kill, then it's thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, and thou shalt not covet your neighbor's property. Those very clearly are loving your neighbor, right? Those are neighbor-oriented things. And so you can kind of see how the commandments are kind of divided. But what I want to submit to you is that I think five is the beginning of loving your neighbor as yourself. But I think it's purposely set in this place as a transitional. Because as we're going to see today, as the fourth command, remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy, was a kind of a transitional. It was, you know, the first three focused fully on God, and then the fourth commandment was setting aside a day to to reflect your relationship with God. So, the paramount relationship that we have in the world and in all of our earthly relationships is our relationship with our parents. And the respect, the honor, the glory that we give temporally, physically, on the earth to our fathers and mothers is a reflection of what's really in our hearts toward our spiritual father. And it is, as husbands love your wives, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, and just as my love for Marcia is what God has declared as the primary picture of Christ's love for the church in the world, so my love for my father, my honor, and the glory that I give to my father really is to the world, in a great respect, a picture of the glory and respect that we would give to our Heavenly Father. And so, as we looked at this verse, again, as I prepared, there's so much more than one verse, clearly, in God's Word about this, and so that's where we're going to go. I began to realize that there's no way I can shortchange this one, you know, because how much it reflects upon God Himself. And that's really where I want to go with all this. And so the first thing we want to look at is, first of all, the proclamation itself. In this proclamation itself, the first question I've got to ask myself as I go to all these things is, what does it mean? Well, you see up there, it comes from the Hebrew word chabad. Actually, it's not chabad, it's kabad. And it literally means to be heavy. And I put in the word significant. It's going to be Bob's, if you would, bringing together all the shades of the Hebrew. In your Bibles, many times, this word is translated as grievous. So, you know, yeah, grieve your father and your mother. Isn't that kind of cool? You know, we kind of like that one, don't we? You know, but it doesn't mean that. It means grievous, heavy, sometimes translated then as honorable as well. And the idea is, when you take all these words together and you come up with in the Hebrew and you look at the shades of it, for me, bringing it into a modern, I would say it's the term significance. It brings significance in how anything is being occurred. So when I am sorrowful, when this word it comes into that to that context, it means that I am really sorrowful. I am grievous. When I am in a situation where there should be respect given, and this word is used then, it means having highly respected or high esteem towards something. Do you see what I'm saying? Or when it's used then of something that is talking about something that's weighty, it's talking about something that's really weighty. And so the concept here then is that if you would, for Bob's translation, if I was translating this and I was bringing it, I would put in that we are to treat your parents, so treat your parents, treat your mother and father with great significance. And I think that's going to come into play with this next thing when we get into what does it look like. But the thing I want to look at here with what does it mean is, second of all, we have three things here. Second is limitation, or should I say the lack thereof. There is no age limit. You note that when God says honor your father and your mother, He doesn't say from the age up until 20 years old, until the time that you leave your parents' house, or until you are a grandfather yourself. In other words, there's no limitation placed upon it age-wise that we are supposed to treat our parents with great significance or to treat them with great honor. Also, it doesn't have a moral limit to it. It doesn't say if your mom or your dad or your mom and your dad are great people, then treat them with great honor. But if they're sinners, then you can diss them anytime you want. You can show them great disrespect. It really doesn't matter because they've earned the disrespect, and so you just treat them that way. Do unto others as you decide. No, but rather love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And if you take those two greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Do you understand why those two things logically fit right on top of each other? If when Jesus says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Because if I really love God with all my heart and all my mind and all my strength, heart, soul, mind, then I will love the things that He loves. And what did He make in His image and likeness? Men, mankind. And so therefore, I know that God loves man and has a desire to see all men what? Be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so it doesn't matter what I think of that individual, what I see in the individual, and I've been honest about myself, about, you know, people that I look at and I go, we all have that. We all have that judging the book by its cover mentality at times, in which we've got to get rid of it. It's not the mind of Christ. I've got to continually eradicate it from me. Every time, like Cindy, you shared in the testimony, every time that thought process comes, I need to take the thought captive, and I need to bring it under the blood of Jesus, and I need to cleanse it, and I need to realize, no, God loves that person. Well, it's the same concept that comes here. There is no moral limit, then, when it comes to me treating with respect or great significance my mother and my father. Now, I'm not going to tell you it's an easy thing. It may be a very hard thing. But again, just as I'm supposed to love the wicked, I'm supposed to love the unlovely, so I need to love my dad if he's unlovely, or love my mom if she's unlovely. Now, fortunately, I have very lovely moms and dads. This is on tape, and so it makes it easy for me. But the reality is that I know for my kids, there are a lot of times when they've got to go back to God's Word and say, they've got to honor me in spite of me. Because I'm not worthy of their honor, and I'm not worthy of great significance, clearly at all times. I have trashed it in times in my life. And probably, if you're a mom or dad, you probably have somewhere along in that line too. Okay? So, with that in mind, then looking back to my dad then, I need to realize what? My dad had failures, just like I have failures. And my concern here then is to treat them with great significance. What's the expectations? Well, first of all, parents, if you reinforce this for good or evil by your expectation. The fact is, do I expect my kids to honor me? I should. From the time that they're little, I should expect my children to respect me. I train them to it. Well, I teach then submission as well to authority, to others, the others' authorities, in my expectations or lack thereof with my children. And so if I don't expect them to heed my authority, respect my authority, or to treat me with great significance, then honestly, in this microcosm of authority, it's going to be taken out and applied then to other areas of authority. If they don't treat me with respect, how would I ever expect them to treat a police officer with respect? How would I ever expect them to treat a pastor with respect? Someone blessed me this week, and I was, you know, they went up to the child and said, you know, you say, yes, sir. And I said, oh, I did the grandpa thing. I'm getting old. And I said, oh, it's okay. And the person turned around and said, no, it's not okay. And I said, you're right. You're 100% right. One, me of all people to say that was okay. And no, it's 100%. It's not okay. Because, again, the teaching of respect for authority is huge. Well, the initial phase of that is in how my children treat me. How I treat my father. I'm 52. He's 77. But my responsibility still is to treat him with great significance and to portray that to my children and to other people. Fits and temper tantrums are acts of disrespect to authority. Now, you may be thinking I'm talking about your kids or I'm talking about my kids. No, I'm talking even about us. Okay? I mean, Charles, you kind of shared a little testimony on that one, right? I mean, that's just a fact that even as adults, think about it, we still carry some of that trash from our childhood, right? And where do we ultimately then apply it? To God. Because the same, remember what I said in the beginning, the same respect that I'm learning to give toward my parents is the same great significance that I'm going to ultimately give toward God. Because He's a what? He's an authority over me. And so if I can't learn to honor and treat with great respect and great significance the authority that's set over me in just a very small way, I'm going to do that. I'm going to portray that in every other mode of authority that's over there. Ultimately, the biggest one, the most important one, is my relationship with God. Well, what does it look like then? What does it mean? What does it look like? On the positive side, it means listening to or even heeding their instruction and advice. Proverbs 1, there's going to be a lot of verses here. Some we'll turn to. A lot of them are going to be up on the screen. But Proverbs 1, 8 and 9, you probably know this one very well. It says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." And it's interesting that word for chains, literally, you know, we kind of picture, you know, a necklace, you know, kind of beautiful. No, it was like the chains going around a camel's neck. It was meant for guiding them, going to give guidance, you know. So like if you picture a dog with the collar on it, you know, and you're kind of leading the dog around. Okay, and so it's meant to be ornamental here, right? But the actual term, when it's used, is also for the chains that are placed around a camel's neck, to give it guidance, to show it where to go. And so the reality is, they will be a graceful ornament on your head, but they'll also be that which helps to guide you throughout your life. So it'll almost be like your mom or your dad is what? Still with you. Some of you adults now, do you ever feel like your mom or dad's still there, kind of in your head sometimes? Yeah? Oh, yes, yes, exactly right. But have you ever been out about, I mean, as you get older, some of it starts to slide a little bit because now your own teachings are there. But, you know, in that younger adult times, you know, the fact is that your mom and dad are still there in the teachings. You know, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he'll what? He'll not depart from it. Why? Because, in a sense, those teachings will be like a chain about their neck. But this applies to the son. Now, this is Solomon, and who is Solomon speaking to? Rehoboam. Okay, who is Rehoboam? He's the one who wrecked the nation. Anyways, but yeah, that's why his name was Rehoboam. Anyways, but Rehoboam is what it looks like in the English, right? But he was the next king after Solomon. What do we know that he didn't do? He didn't heed the instruction of his father, and he forsook the law of his mother. He didn't follow those things. Why? Because honestly, Solomon what? He didn't live it out. That's exactly right. So mom and dad, you know, it's two sides here on this one, okay? A, kids, you know, and big kids, us, that we're supposed to be hearing the instruction of our father and our mother, the law of our mother. So the reality is that when my mom and my dad want to give me advice, I'm 52 years old. I don't need their advice anymore. I'm a grown man. I've got grown kids. Why do I need to listen to them? Because there is the wisdom of age. God knew what He was declaring when He told me to honor my father and my mother and to listen to, give credence to what my dad says. Just as I like to turn around and tell my kids, and whether I've said this to them or not, I probably have, listen, and I'll pick on Jessica for a moment. She's in 20s. Anyways, I won't. I could say, 27. You're 27, okay? And so I could say, listen, baby, I've been around 25 years longer than you. You know? You think you got it, but you know what? You ain't got nothing. I remember when I was 27, but I've got 25 more years of wisdom to give you. And it's easy for us to what? To say it on our side, right? But my dad, see, it's a perfect illustration because my dad is 25 years older than me. And so it's easy for me to say, hey, you need to listen to me, even if you're an adult, because I've got 25 more years of experience. But guess what? My dad's got that more than me. So, on the positive side, I need to be listening to their instruction and advice. We know this verse, and parents, we love to be able to declare it to our kids, but it says, children, what? Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, right? Which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Okay? And so, we're supposed to obey. And I've shared this when we went through Ephesians a couple months ago in Sunday school. But that word obey is the word hupakuo. There's two primary words, hupotasso and hupakuo, which talk about submission and obedience. Hupotasso means to willfully bring yourself under, okay, the authority of somebody. But hupakuo means to be under the hearing of. They say jump, I say how high. You know, in fact, I probably don't even say how high. I just do it because they said jump, I'm going to jump, you know. And then I'm going to worry whether I went how high, okay. Well, for you kiddos, clearly this is for you. This is one of the chief ways that you will show deep respect, great significance, honor for your parents. Do you listen to their advice and their instruction? Do you follow it? As an adult, I understand that you have wisdom and you need to make a decision, but I think we still need to give great weight to what our parents tell us. Now, on the negative side, what does it not look like? First of all, it looks like not striking them physically, verbally, or visually. You say, what? Well, let's look at some verses here. Exodus 21:15 says, he who strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death. If you put your hand to your parents, if you physically hit them, God says you deserve to die. That's pretty clear, right? Capital punishment. Could you imagine if, now I'm not saying that we've got to go to Levitical law and bring that in. It's got to go into Sharia law and bring it over, okay? But could you imagine if we really had this in our culture? How respect would change? I mean, if you were out in Walmart and your kid reached over and smacked you, and there were three witnesses, and they came over and grabbed them and said, we saw. And then all of a sudden they took them out in the Walmart parking lot and stoned them. Do you think that would have effect upon kids and how they treated their parents? Especially if they saw one. Why is he being done to them? He reached out and smacked his dad. Ooh. Guess I ain't going to do that. Nope, guess not. Learn to put my hands in my pockets. But anyways, so, this is a no-brainer, right? I mean, that's clearly disrespect to reach out and smack your dad or your mom. That makes sense. But what about verbally? Well, verse 17 says, he who curses his father and mother shall be put to death. Proverbs 20, verse 20 says, whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put in deep darkness. I mean, deep darkness. Not just darkness, but deep darkness, okay? Talking about being deep doo-doo, okay? Deep darkness, okay? And so the law says, if you even verbally strike your parents, if you verbally accost your parents, you deserve to die. Now, note it doesn't say in their presence. You note that? How many times is it that you actually verbally accost your parents not in their presence as opposed to in their presence? Probably a whole lot more. It's when you're away from them and you know that you're away from the long arm of the law, right? Or the paddle. That you can mouth off to your brothers or sisters or to your friends. And again, I'm not just talking to you little ones, I'm talking to us big ones too. Because many times we show great disrespect for our parents in what we say about them. We've got to be careful on how we treat them. But this next one is really the one that really gets us, you know? Proverbs 30, verse 17 says, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. You know what that is, kids? That's the rolling of the eyes. That's the, you know, when you just kind of do the eyes just kind of go this way. You know, mom says, I told you to clean the room. I didn't say anything. Oh, yeah, you did. I, it's all over your face. You know, and you kind of wonder, it's the eye. How many of you have seen The Passion of the Christ? Good, all of you. Do you remember the end where Jesus is on the cross and the two thieves are there? And all of a sudden, this bird comes down onto the cross and starts reaching down and pecking out the eye? It's because they applied this verse there. Now, it's not there in the New Testament. I loved it. When I saw it, I said, great application. Because who were they in that film recognizing Jesus to be? The personification of the Father. The eye that mocks the Father will be plucked out by the ravens of the valley and fed to the eagles. That's why it happened. In case you were wondering, where did they get that one at? It's from here. It's an application. That's what they deserved. That's what that thief deserved. He was mocking his Creator. And as we're going to see in just a few minutes here, kids and big kids, when we do this, that's really what we're doing. We're mocking our Creator. When I roll my eyes at my dad or my mom, I'm really ultimately rolling my eyes at God. And I've got to get that mind of Christ in me, of treating my mom and my dad with great respect, regardless of my age, and regardless of whether I think they're right or they're wrong. It doesn't matter. They are my mother. They are my father. They are the ones to whom God has allowed me to be a child of. Does that make sense? God allowed me to be born to them. He is sovereign over all things. And so that is the primary relationship that I have to show great significance to. Well, negatively, it also shows not stealing from them. Not striking them, but not stealing from them. Proverbs 28:24 says, whoever robs his father or his mother and says it's no transgression, the same as a companion to a destroyer. And while you're meditating on that, turn back to Matthew 15, what we read this morning for our Bible reading. And you're probably wondering when we first read it, what were we reading this about? And the verse that's on the top of the order of service is about the things that go into the mouth are not the things that make one unclean, but the things which come out of the mouth. And though I didn't pick that verse, it's a perfect verse. Because we are talking about the heart right now. We're talking about the intent and what we think about. But in Matthew 15, we read, it says, the scribes and the Pharisees who were in Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. And he said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God? In other words, we're not talking about the traditions of the elders. We're talking about the commandment of God because of your tradition. For God commanded one of the 10 words of the covenant. God commanded saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses his father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you may have received from me is a gift, it's korban, to God. Then he need not honor his father or his mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Jesus could have used any analogy to come back to talk to the Pharisees. Remember, the Pharisees are coming back to talk about why aren't they washing their hands? They're transgressing the traditions of men. Jesus could have used any analogy to come back at them and say, well, why do you break the commandments? I think it's interesting that Jesus brings back then their disrespect for this fifth command, to honor their father and their mother. And he draws it right together with these people. Well did Isaiah say unto these people, they worship me with their, or they honor me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me, meaning that they what? They really don't honor me. Again, how you honor your parents is the great display, is the outward working of what's really in your heart. And so they conjured up this thing using God as the excuse. See, korban is a general offering. There is the mincha, the ule, the ishi, all these different sacrifices in the Hebrew mindset, okay? And the korban is a general offering. It's something that has been devoted, okay, to God. Okay? It's an oblation. And so they got around having to take care of their parents by declaring that the money that was going to be set aside that they were going to have to pay to take care of their parents was really set apart to God. And so therefore they couldn't use it for that. But in setting it apart to God, they then could use it for their pleasure. Warped. I understand it's very warped. But they got around the command by twisting things around. And so Jesus brought them right back to it and said, looky, you don't get it. It is your responsibility to take care of your parents when they get older. It's your responsibility. It's not the government's responsibility. I hope I'm not stepping on toes too bad. And I understand my parents are coming there. Okay, and I understand that there is Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security and those things which we have, and praise the Lord for those things. But ultimately, the New Testament declares, Paul declares as well, that we are to take care of our own. A widow shouldn't be added to the roles of the church if she still has family to take care of her. It's not the responsibility of the church or of the government to take care of my family. Whose responsibility is it? Mine. But so many times we try to shirk the responsibility, shirk the giving of great significance to our parents, even in their old age, so that I have just a little bit more to spend on me. It's no different than Matthew chapter 15. We want as much of the world as we can get without having to spend it on somebody else. If I'm not willing to spend it on those who gave me life, I promise you, I'm not really willing to spend it on the one who ultimately gave me life. And Jesus, God in the flesh, chose to use this portrait, which we're going to again go to, as that picture. Well, there's a promise that goes along with it. It's a promise that goes to them nationally. Because remember, these are 10 words of the covenant. Okay? And so this promise, initially, is to the nation of Israel. Really interesting, if you think about it. Because we think of it, what? Individually. But remember, this is 10 words of the covenant. This is the covenant that he's making with Israel. And so he says to Israel, and he reiterates in Deuteronomy 5:16, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And again, he's talking to the nation, that you as a nation, if you as a nation portray this, if you as a nation are taking care of your fathers and mothers, then I will take care of you. I don't know whether you've analyzed the growth of nursing homes and personal care homes over the years and the growth pattern that have been there. But 200 or 300 years ago, they weren't really known. There were nurses who would go in and take care of things, but not like it is in our country today. It is a very growing business. There's money to be made in personal care. I understand that some would say that's because we as a people are generally living longer and longer and longer. But do you realize that the average age of people is still in the 70s? Is my right? Is it late 70s? Average age, lifespan. It's 70s. It's amazing. Even as much as the medical things we have, God's word hasn't changed. Man's days are 70, and if by strength, 80s. So it hasn't changed. We can't turn around and say that this is it's different than even the biblical days. It's not. What's changed? I honestly believe that as Americans, we worship materialism. We worship mammon. Mammon is our God and not God. And so, my parents can become an inconvenience. Now, I understand that I'm on this side of it. Some of you are on the other side of it, and you struggle through that. Okay? And It's my heart's desire that I have the space in my house or can build an addition so that when my parents come to that point, that I can live out what I'm teaching you. That, now, I mean, I also know that my mom and dad don't want to be that burden upon us and all that kind of stuff. So I understand both sides of that. But it's a biblical thing. And straight up, if I want my kids to take care of me, I better take care of my parents and show them an example, huh? Anyways, we'll leave it there. Nationally, but also then individually. Again, children, obey your parents and the Lord. We know that this passage is to the individual, not to the nation. This isn't speaking to the church as a whole. And so what does it say? If we do that, if we honor our father and mother, what does it say? That it may be well with you, and that you may live long upon the earth. Do we wonder sometimes why things aren't so well in our land? Again, I believe it's because we have taken the priorities that God has given us, and we've flipped them upside down. We've accepted the Maslow, am I right? Maslow hierarchy of needs. Isn't it Maslow? Yes, some of you are saying, say it again. Maslow, yeah. And what's the base need in that secular mindset? Self-preservation. So food, shelter, all of it. Self-preservation is the first thing. But do you understand, when Jesus Christ came, He takes that, now I know Maslow never even existed yet at that point, but He did in God's eyes. God took what all Maslow did was take what the world thinks, right? And he put it out there. Jesus took that and He flipped it totally upside down. Relationships and God is the very first paramount foundational thing. Self-preservation is the very last. It's the very last thing. And yet we fall into that worldly mindset thinking, I got to think about me. No. No. That's the very last thing. God can take care of me. I've got to be thinking about God and the things that God wants me to do. All right. So, the portrait. And this is what we were talking about before. And this is really the importance of all this in this portrait here. Malachi 1:6. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If I am the father, who's speaking? Yahweh. If I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, saith Yahweh of hosts to you, priest, who despise my name? Yet you say, in what way have we despised you? Now we can get in and we can talk about how they've stolen from God and how they mistreated their spouses and all those things. But the point is that what the picture, when God wants to come down and again discuss how the people are treating Him, what picture does He choose? That of the Father. Honoring the father and their mother. And He says, if I am your father, if you are the children of Israel, if you are my children and I am your father, and you just say to me, our heavenly Father, as Jesus declares, right? You pray this way, our Father who art in heaven. If I really am that Father, then where's the respect? Where's the honor? Where's the great significance that I should be getting? But rather, we read many, many times throughout the Old Testament, and I've been going through the book of Isaiah in my quiet time, and God using Isaiah to go back to Israel and just lambast them for turning to Egypt. Trusting in chariots, trusting in horses, trusting in the strong arm of man rather than turning to God. Giving honor to man rather than to God. And so God says, if I'm the Father, where is my honor? Matthew 5:48, Jesus says, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Again, Jesus says on the earth that we should be seeking to mimic, we should be seeking to reflect our Father. He is the great Father. And again, the respect that I give to my earthly father reflects on that which I give to Him. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him. And so, just as in the temporal physical realm, we owe our existence to our parents, we are made in their image and in their likeness, and finally, we are under their tutelage and authority, So in the eternal spiritual realm, we owe existence to God. We're made in His image and likeness, and we are under His tutelage and authority. And so again, just that whole portrait, that picture that's there, that as I am showing great significance to my parents, I'm really showing great significance to God. Finally, the prophecy. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 30. These last three passages we're going to turn to. Proverbs chapter 30. I find it interesting that as God speaks regarding coming into the last days, that there is again one major relationship that He chooses to use as an illustration of people in their relationship to Him. Proverbs 30 verse 11 says, "There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords, and whose fangs are like knives, to devour the poor from off of the earth, and the needy from among men." There's a generation. He doesn't say when, but he says there's a generation that's going to curse its father and his mother. It's going to be pure in its own eyes. It's going to be all lofted up. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. Where we see, again, just a little bit more illustration regarding this future generation. And I want to start reading up in verse 18 for the context. Verse 30 is where we're going. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress, hold down the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also men, leaving the natural use of woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was due." Homosexuality. Okay? When you start to see homosexuality prevalent in a nation, know that God has given them up to his wrath. Okay? Verse 28. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things," that included the disobedient to God, "that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve those who practice them." And before I comment, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. As we look to the end times, one of the traits that is consistent in all of these warnings is that in that generation, people are going to become disobedient to their parents. They're going to reject their parents. They're going to disrespect their parents. They're going to turn away from the honoring of the parents that God has called them to. And in doing that, they're actually turning away from the honor and respect that is rightly to given to God. God says they suppress the truth. Would be that we are not ones who suppress the truth. Now, I'm not teaching against nursing homes. I'm not teaching against personal care homes. I understand that there are potential needs in our society. Again, what I see here that comes back to me is exactly what Jesus said to the Pharisees and the disciples. It's not what goes into the mouth that makes me unclean. It's what comes out of my mouth that reveals my uncleanness. What is your heart like? And that's only what you can ask yourself. And so I ask the question, how well are you honoring your mother and your father? But if I ask them, what would they say? I am a tunnel-visioned individual. Life exists in front of me. You materialized before you came in the door and became animated because you entered into my sphere of life. That's weird. It's really weird. But probably some of you shook your head yes. Some of you understand that because you're just like that too. Okay? And when it's hard. It's hard for me to comprehend that people exist apart from being interacting with me. And so the string thing to my family, it wasn't hard to break. They're not here. And so it's very hard for me. I mean, it's very hard for me to preach this. This is one of these ones I'd like to spend 3 minutes on and fly right through. I'm not accusing you. Understand, I'm accused. I don't call my mom and dad as much as I should. I have the opportunity. It's not like I live in 150 years ago when I couldn't call. You know, and I'd have to send a letter and it'd get there 3 months from now and wait for 3 months later for them to respond back. It'd be like a chat room, you know, kind of conversations kind of going this way. I have no excuse not to communicate to them. What's ultimately my reason? Self-centeredness. Self-centeredness. I choose not to. It's not that I even just choose not to. I just don't what? I don't even think about it. And I've got to change the way I think. God said that that is a paramount relationship. And I have got to change. So understand, I'm not beating you guys up. I'm beating my kids up because I don't want them to treat me like I treat my dad. Anyways, we have got to change. We are the ones who have to reveal to the world what this biblical picture looks like. Because in that, how well are you honoring your Heavenly Father? Now, it's not going to pop up there, but I could have said, what would He say? Is God glorified by your representation of Him? Specifically, of your representation of Him as it comes to your relationship with your parents. What adjustments need to be made to your life and your relationship to your earthly parents? And then similarly then, what adjustments need to be made to your life and your relationship to your Heavenly Father? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your goodness to us. And as was shared earlier in the testimony time, God, I'm thankful for your mercy and your grace. So many times throughout the week, I prove that I'm a sinner, falling short of your glory, and in so much need of your deliverance. I'm grateful, God, that your mercy is new every morning. Father, I pray that you'll help me to grow in my honoring of my mom and my dad. Not because I have to, but because your love welling up in me, I want to. I pray the same, Lord, for each one of us in this assembly. And for those who are called by your name in this city, and in this state, and in this country. Lord, that we would change the way we think, leading to a change in the way we act, to give you the glory in the relationships, our relationships with our parents. I pray, Lord, for the children in this assembly, that they would get it, and that as a child, they would begin to apply this to their lives, that when they are old, they would not turn from it, and that they would be that picture. God, I pray that you would help us truly to build families on the Word of God, that our families would be testimonies to this world. And again, as was shared earlier, teams of missionaries affecting those that you have allowed to be in our areas of influence for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.